Ramsey TV.
I'm going to wait till the music's over on this one. Although, I completely have to guess because I can't hear the music as I'm recording. Okay, is it over? I think it is. Taking an educated guess. I've heard it enough. You'd think I would know. I'm going to talk about the scam of religious holidays. This is related to the topic of hell. Oh yes, you'll be surprised to find out how, but it is. I'm inspired to do this because of the upcoming mega religious holiday called Easter. Easter. This is Martin Zender. I'm at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. And I'm, I told you every show is a struggle, and this one certainly is, but something good's going to come of it. Now, before I go much further, I must tell you, I forgot to tell you yesterday, that the political video I've been talking about that I put on Rumble is finally there. It is up. I'm going to put the link down here. It's called The New World Order is Coming. All right, so get ready for that. Watch it after this. If you haven't seen it already, some of you are already subscribed to Rumble. The link is down here. The new world order is coming. If you ask me, and I'm glad you did, everything is on schedule. Also, I have to tell you, on Sunday, if you didn't get it already, another classic was published, Rodney Parris, Martin Zender, 1-2 Punch. Little talk I gave 27 years ago in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, called No Longer I. This is really good, really good. As James says in the book of James, don't say that we're going to go here and we're going to go there. Don't say that, because you don't know if you're going to go here or there. You could die tomorrow. I'm paraphrasing the guy. A load of laughs, James. Real upbeat guy, the life of the party. Instead, we should say, if the Lord wills, I will go here and I will go there. Well, that's actually literally true. But then we have Paul saying, oh, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, then I'm intending to go to Spain, then hopefully I'll come to you, blah, blah, blah. Never once says if the Lord wills. This is another difference between the Gospels of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. The Gospel of grace and the Gospel of law. It's so subtle, but these differences are many, many places if you're trained to see them. If you're not trained to see them, I will bring them to you on a silver platter with a little cigarette smoke thrown in for good measure. On that audio that is combined with Rodney Parris's excellent choices of video and text frames, my kids are with me. I took my wife and my kids went with me to almost every conference. I think my son Paul, who is now the super Christian, was 3 years old at the time, listening to Daddy. Now he doesn't listen to Daddy anymore. He listens to his pastor. But anyway, you know that story. So we have a super religious holiday coming up called Easter. I'm going to save that one for last. Basically, the religious holidays are Christmas and Easter. These are the mega events that Christian religion uses to guilt you to go to church. We all know the jokes about the people go to church on Christmas and Easter, as if they're doing God a favor. It's like visiting Grandma Ruth at the nursing home, you know, every Sunday. Okay, we gotta go see Grandma Ruth at the nursing home. It's kind of a chore, which is sad. But a lot of people treat God like that. Time to go visit the old man at his house on Sunday. It's Sunday, time to go visit the old man. Let him know that we're at least thinking about him once in a while. But if you can't visit him every week, for God's sake, literally for God's sake, you must at least visit him on Christmas and Easter. Then you've done your duty. And when the rolls are rolled out, your name is found having gone to church on Christmas and Easter, then God will smile benevolently upon you, and that will be your golden ticket to paradise.
Well, he went to church on Christmas and Easter most years. I'm impressed. He visited me once in a while in my nursing home, also known as the church.
I said I relate this to hell because hell is used as a sledgehammer to force people to believe in God and hurry up or else. The fear tactic, which anyone who comes to God via the fear tactic doesn't come to God at all. They're not coming to God, they're going away from an eternity in hell, which they think is real because the Christians convince them that it's real with their plays they put on, their little hell plays, where Satan is dragging mothers away from children after car accidents, dragging away the mother to hell while the child screams. All wonderful productions the Christians put on, striking fear into everyone, trying to get people to love God. Trying to get people to love God by fear. That is no different, in my opinion, than trying to get people to love God by going to visit him in his nursing home on Christmas and Easter. As you would guess, and as you probably expect me to say, and by the way, this is the first show I've ever made without a shirt, but you can't see it because I'm not going to show you. It's not that I'm ashamed of my body. I'm very proud of it, but just doesn't seem appropriate. But it is appropriate to tell you for some reason. It's a cudgel. These holidays are cudgels to beat people, just like hell. Because you definitely have to go to church on Jesus' birthday. Christmas Day, Jesus' birthday. Boy, is that a racket. They have really done a job there. Well, I say they, but you know who it is? You know who's done the job? You know who did it? Satan. Satan did it. Because Christmas is a 100% emotional event. I mean, it is for me too. You hear those songs, Silent Night, Holy Night, All is calm, all is bright. It does pull on the heartstrings. You remember all the great Christmases you had as a kid. I remember getting my Danny O'Day doll. You know, the little ventriloquist kid, Danny O'Day.
Hello, my name is Danny O'Day. I love to go to church on Christmas because it's just like visiting God in a nursing home.
Yeah, great memories from Christmas, but it's all emotional. It's all soulish. Not one shred of spirituality about it. And what it does, besides keep people from seeing the true God because of the emotionalism, it keeps Jesus, keeps baby Jesus in the manger. Just when you get him on the cross on Easter, raised from the dead, well, forget it. I mean, within 8 months, he's back in the cradle again. Jesus back in the cradle. He's a baby again in his swaddling clothes, lying in the manger with the round virgin, mother and child. And the little drummer boy shows up. That really gets me. That really pulls on my heartstrings. I used to be a drummer. I still am a drummer. I just drum on different things, tables, chairs, my steering wheel. Shall I play for him? I played my best for him. The greatest line in that song, if you ask me, is Mary nodded. Ah, I get chills just saying that. Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. I love it. We got Mary, the round virgin, and the ox and the lamb. It's a beautiful thing. It's all emotionalism. Not one thing about knowing God. Not one thing about who Jesus Christ is and what he did for the human race. It's all erased. It's all hidden behind this sappy, these sappy Christmas specials on television. And the baby Jesus. It's just pathetic. And Satan has drummed it all up. Talk about the little drummer boy. There you go. Satan drummed that one up big time. And I know that a lot of you were a part of the Worldwide Church of God and you totally hated Christmas because it's a pagan holiday, we all know, based on the Roman holiday Saturnalia, which came at the winter solstice. Jesus was not born on December 25th. That's the winter solstice is December 21st. And so the Romans, the pagans, had a holiday celebrating the return of the sun. And Constantine, in the 4th century, wanted to make a holiday so that people would think of Jesus and maybe go visit God in the nursing home. So they tagged the birth of Christ to Saturnalia, turned Saturnalia into a Christian holiday, and there you go. There's your Christmas. There's your Christmas right there. Jesus was born in the fall around the Feast of Trumpets. Some say September 11th. Certainly wasn't born in the dead of winter. All right. Oh, yeah, but you folks in the Worldwide Church of God, you learn to hate it because of the pagan connections, and I understand that. And I went through that phase. And you know how people say, keep Christ in Christmas? Well, my saying is a little different, as you would imagine. I say, get Christ the hell out of Christmas. Once you get Christ the hell out of Christmas, then it's a decent holiday. It's fun. Yeah, have presents with the kid. With the kids, get the eggnog out, get the holly out, get the mistletoe out, kiss your lover, kiss anybody you can. Just carry that mistletoe around and have a cup of cheer. Just keep Christ the hell out of Christmas and I can dig it. I'm okay now. I used to hate the Christmas carols. I went through that phase. This is anti-Christ. Yeah, I know it is, but just let me get Christ out of Christmas. If you get Christ the hell out of Christmas, it's not anti-Christ anymore. Just a nice little time to get the family together. Otherwise, families don't get together hardly ever. Christmas is a good excuse. You get stuff, what's not to like? So now we come to the holiday coming up this weekend called Easter. I know there's a pagan connection there too with Ishtar, Egyptian goddess. I don't want to get into all that. What I want to get into is the classic Christian hypocrisy that you're going to see it all over on that dreaded day. Well, they got the time of year right on this one. I will say that. They got the time of year right. But you know what the classic hypocrisy is? And you'll see it all over the church signs. He is risen. He is risen. And you see the crosses out there with this death wrap wrapped around the cross. It wasn't a cross, it was a stake. And a death wrap. It's just a decoration. But anyway, the hypocrisy is that Christians, as we know, are either Trinitarians or modalists. They think that either Jesus Christ is essentially God or that he is God. That he's, I said that right. If you don't understand that, I'll explain the difference between modalism and Trinitarianism sometime soon. I'll do it. I'll do it while wearing a shirt. By the way, my air conditioner is still not fixed. Yeah. That's much, much cooler out here than it is inside. 85 degrees inside. I don't know, what is it now? 78 or something. Good old Florida. Being Trinitarians or modalists, the Christians don't believe that Jesus Christ actually died, because when you press them about the death of Christ, which is a foundation stone of our gospel, the gospel of Paul, the gospel of the transcendent grace of God, when you push them about it, they don't believe that Jesus Christ did not exist for 3 days. They don't think that's right. They just don't think it's good that Jesus Christ would die. Once again, they're trying to enhance Jesus' resume. We won't let you die, just like Peter. We're not going to let you go to the cross. Don't worry, we're going to save you from the cross. Christians today, don't worry, Jesus, we're going to save you from the embarrassment, the complete humiliation of death, and we're going to make sure that nobody believes that you actually died. Then you have to wonder, then how do they get around the death of Christ? This is how they get around it. You know how they get around it. I've said it many times. They say that, well, he went to heaven. His body died. It was his body. They separate his body from him, which is unscriptural, because in the Word of God, the person and the location of the person is associated with the body. What did the angel say to Mary when Mary wandered to the tomb to put some spices on the corpse? She thought the angel was a gardener. That's strange, but the angel said, come see where he lay. Come see where he lay. I'll put the verse reference down here. Jesus Christ, come see where he was. Because he, the person, the man, was in that tomb. The corpse was him. You find the same thing in Genesis with the creation of Adam. God breathed into who? Into Adam. God breathed into the human. The human. That was Adam. That inert chunk of clay, nicely shaped, probably six-pack. That was Adam. That was Adam before the Spirit came into him. And Adam, the inert being that had no life. Adam, that was Adam. The inert being that had no life became a living soul at the breath of God. Where the body is, there the person is. Consistent in Scripture. Come see where he lay. God breathed into Adam. And that inert, well-formed chunk of clay became a living soul. Christians don't believe that. Of course, they think that the essential man, and they believe this about us, about humans, about all human beings, the essential person is immortal. That's what they say. That's a lie. Satanic lie. They say the essential person is immortal and the essential person never dies. I'm sorry for the wind interference there. They say that the body dies, and that's it. And that's what they say about Jesus Christ. His body died. Then why don't they say on their signs on Easter morning, his body is risen? His body is risen. He's not risen. He did not raise from the dead. Because according to you people, he never died. He went to heaven at his quote-unquote death. At the moment of his quote-unquote death, he went to heaven because he's an immortal soul, and so are all of we, according to the lie. According to the lie of Satan in the Garden of Eden, you shall not surely die. Or to die, you shall be dying. That's what Satan actually said. Cast doubt into the mind of the woman concerning death. Oh, death, no, we won't have it for you. And that's exactly what they do. That's exactly what this gaggle of unbelievers does, the Christians. They deny death. And they deny the death of Christ, which is essential to believe in order to be in the body of Christ. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. So the hypocrisy is that he's not risen at all. Be consistent. If he didn't die, then he can't raise from the dead. Can he? No. What raised from the dead? His body raised from the dead. His corpse. On all those signs, it ought to say, his corpse is risen. His corpse. We're saved by his corpse. Saved by the corpse of Christ. We're not saved by him. We're not saved by his death and his resurrection. No. We're saved by the death of his corpse, of his body, and the resurrection of his body. We're saved by his skeleton, his muscles, his sinews, his organs. It's just a pathetic, pathetic hypocrisy. And I didn't even see that hypocrisy until maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago. Not sure which one of those. I said, he is risen. What a lie. They're not even following their own doctrine. Don't know why I should be surprised. I'm really not. But I wanted to point it out to you so that when you see it yourself, you'll think of me. I just want you to think of me on Easter morning. No, not really. What I do want you to think of is that Jesus Christ himself, the man, died. Body, soul, and spirit, Jesus Christ did not exist. It was the greatest sacrifice that can be imagined. He had to give up his own life because no one could take it from him. He voluntarily did it. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The spirit returned to God. The body returns to the soil, but his body did not decompose. God made sure of that, and the soul disappears. That is, becomes unseen. And unseen is a concordant translation of the Greek word Hades, which the common English versions make hell. Which brings me back to my original point. This gaggle of unbelievers, they use hell to try to pummel you into God, beat you into God, and they use the holidays, the scam Christian holidays, to try to beat you into God. We'll make it fun. We'll make it happy. Oh, yes. On Easter, we'll add chocolate and Easter eggs. On Christmas, we'll include fruitcake that can also be used as doorstops. And we'll have these nice, happy Christmas songs that are all pretty sad, except for this one. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. And I love the other one. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. I love that song. That's my favorite Christmas tune. So, we're realists. We are realists, you and I. So, we are celebrating the death of Christ and his resurrection. Because without his resurrection, we're all doomed. But because of his resurrection, we are all going to be resurrected. Because he is the first fruit of many brethren.